Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Healthy Be Human podcast. My name is Callie. I'm your podcast host, and I am so excited that you are here today, listening or watching wherever you are. Welcome. I cannot wait to get into today's episode. We have a guest. If you're watching, you see him right next to me, and I'll tell you who it is in a second. But before we get into this, let's start off with a little self-check-in. Just take a time to reground ourselves, check in with ourselves, and just see how we're feeling. So if you want to grab a journal, if you want to do this just in your mind, I've seen you guys do it both ways, and I love it. So wherever you are, just take a nice deep inhale through your nose, inhaling lots of love and goodness into your beautiful body. And then at the top, just slowly open your mouth and just sigh out, letting go of any tension, any limiting beliefs, any doubts in your mind, just release it with your breath. One more time, big deep inhale through your nose. Imagine what it feels like to be loved, just flowing that feeling through those lungs all the way to the crown of your head, and then slowly opening your mouth, sighing out, releasing anything negative in your mind, in your body, just let it go. Okay, I hope you're feeling a little bit more slowed down. I want you now to ask yourself, on a scale of 1 to 10 spice level, how am I feeling right now? 10 being I'm feeling absolutely amazing, 1 being I'm not doing so hot. And just get real to yourself here. Don't be hard on yourself. Okay, now that you have your number, I want you to ask yourself, why do I feel like this? Maybe something happened in your day, maybe nothing happened in your day. Just starting to think about it, gain some clarity around this number. And then making a promise to yourself that you're going to do one thing to make this number go up on the scale. And a follow-up question to this promise is, what is that one thing you're going to do? Maybe it's listening to this podcast episode for some motivation and positivity, or maybe it's going on that run or going and doing that workout or seeing that friend. Whatever it is, make that promise to yourself and hold yourself accountable. Okay, now I want you to ask yourself, what is something that you hope to accomplish by the end of this summer? If you're listening to it in the summer. Or it can be what something you want to accomplish in the next 3 months. So think of a big dream you have, a goal. It doesn't have to be something career related. It can literally be a hobby you want to do. Maybe you want to start painting pictures. I don't know. Okay. Now I want you to ask yourself, what is something that I have been resisting in my life lately? Getting real with yourself. For example, today I had been really resisting creating my merch, even though I've been so excited about it. I've just been like resisting it because it felt like a big project. And then I just sat down and did it today because John, the guy next to me, he challenged me this morning. He's like, Callie, I challenge you to do this merch. And I was like, challenge accepted. Okay, now that you have your thing you've been resisting, I want you to ask yourself, what is the first step I can take today to chip away at this thing I'm resisting? Okay, and now I want you to make a promise to yourself again. Tell yourself, I hold myself accountable to doing this, fill in the blank, whatever it is, starting today. Tell a friend, tell someone you're going to do it. Have an accountability buddy. It makes the world's difference. Okay, and last question, not really a question. I want you to think about a part of your body that you have been maybe struggling with a little bit, insecurity-wise, if there is part of you you've been struggling with, and I want you to just touch that part of your body and tell yourself, I love this part of my body. This is an example that I always, or not an example, an exercise I always tell people to do if they're struggling with their body image and insecurity. I've talked about it on the podcast before. You can stand in front of the mirror and just start to like hold on to whatever part of your body it is and just say it out loud, say it to yourself. Whenever you see yourself in the mirror, and over time, you're going to start to learn to rewire your brain and love yourself. It takes time. It doesn't happen overnight, but it's a really great exercise to try. Okay. Oh, I hope you're feeling good. I hope you're feeling checked in. And if you ever just are feeling weird, I just challenge you to check in with yourself. It's a really great activity. You know, we've heard check in with your friends, doctors check in with you when you go to the doctor's office. But sometimes we forget to just take a second and be like, okay, what's going on with myself today? All right. So now a little life update. I don't know if you can hear it in the mic, but I am sick. I've been sick for like, feels like 2 weeks at this point. It's been really frustrating, but I've been resting so much. I was in Mexico. What day is it today? It's Tuesday. I was in Mexico on Thursday through Sunday for a friend's wedding, and it was one of John's friends, and we went to Monterrey, Mexico, and I'd never been to Mexico before, so I was like a little bit nervous to go, but it was beautiful. This place was in like a mountain valley. It was such an interesting city because it was a big city in the middle of just mountains surrounding it. So that was super cool. Do you have any thoughts on Monterrey?
Yeah, it's a really beautiful town. If you haven't gone, I definitely recommend going. It's unique. It's not like by the coast or anything, so you're not going to get that resort tourist kind of lifestyle, but it's really beautiful. And if you like hiking or mountain biking, anything like that, definitely go check it out.
Yeah, it was really cool. And so anyways, a little story time. I basically kind of started feeling sick. I thought I was having allergies before we left for the trip. And then I don't know if it was just like the knocking of sleep at the wedding, because, you know, it was a really fun wedding. We stayed up pretty late, salsa dance, attempting to salsa dance. That was really fun. And I woke up the next day and I was like, I feel like I got hit by a bus. And so it was definitely a struggle traveling home while feeling like really just overall terrible. And my period started and I was just like, wow, I feel like I feel very, very, what's the word? Weak. But it's been a progression. So I'm trying to just rest and recover and not be too hard on myself. But that has been a little bit of a challenge, just because I don't know, when a sickness lasts more than like 3 days, it's kind of like, okay, can this stop? Because I feel behind. But just keeping it real on here, that's kind of been where I've been at mentally. Right before this podcast, in fact, I had an entire mental breakdown over adulting. So if you listen to the podcast and you're like, wow, she has her life together, I just want to keep it real and be like, sometimes I don't feel like I do. And that is just part of being, I guess, a 23-year-old or whatever age you are. I think we all sometimes have those moments where we just feel like life is challenging. But I think the struggles in our life are what makes us get stronger, because if we were never challenged in our life, we wouldn't be pushed to grow into an even better version of ourselves. So I am choosing right now to look at my struggles as my strengths, because it's like climbing up a mountain. Sometimes the most challenging part of climbing up a mountain is the very top, because it gets super steep and rocky and it feels like so hard, but we've come a long way and it's important to keep pushing through. So anyways, I hope you enjoyed the metaphor. I want to get into today's episode. So like I said, we have a guest today, John. John is if you listen to the episode a couple episodes ago, you already know this. He's my husband. We got married a month ago today, which is so crazy. I still haven't like officially posted about it really on social media. So we finally went through wedding photos. we had a friend take photos for us on my camera, and she took, I think, like 3,000 photos. So shout out Ellie, because, you know, if you like taking photos, you know, you got to keep taking them constantly so you get the best candid photos. She did that, and we had 3,000 photos to go through. So we went through that for like 3-4 hours last night, and we picked our favorites. So hopefully we'll share something soon. But that's the update. And so, John, I'll let you introduce yourself. If anyone hasn't listened to episodes, John, tell us about you.
Hi, guys. I am Callie's husband, John. Where to even start? I was a Wall Street trader who was like hearing from God that I should quit my job. And I prayed about it a lot, and I quit my job, and God provided in so many different ways, opening doors so that we could leave New York without any penalty, like random money from my grandfather that like my mom got after she like forgave him, and he was like, oh, I just don't need this money anymore. And she was like, well, because this is an answered prayer, like I'm going to give this to my kids who probably need it more than I do right now. And just like all these different things, like I overpaid in taxes because I was in New York and whatever, I guess I was paying conservatively. And so like all these different things, like God provided financially, but also like emotionally and mentally and physically, like there's been a lot of healing. Right before I started my job on Wall Street, like I had a pretty bad eating disorder and a lot of like depression and anxiety that I wasn't really aware of. I think I put a lot of pressure on myself, especially like during COVID, and then like not seeing a lot of people and isolating myself for the CFA exam, which is, you know, a pretty hard finance test where you like, I mean, you have to study a lot. It's like the MCAT, I guess, for finance. Anyways, there's been a lot of healing in that, but I went to Arkansas. So woo pig, all my Razorbacks out there. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being here. Callie and I both appreciate it. Go Hogs. And
go Canes.
That's you, Miami. And yeah, I'm from Houston. Callie and I met in math class in high school. And yeah, we've been married for 1 month now.
And if you want to know more about our relationship, we have an entire episode on our relationship. We have honestly several. There's one about like codependency, and there's one about something else, our engagement. I don't know if I recorded that by myself or if you want it. I don't even know. But there's a lot on our relationship, so go check it out. But if you have more questions too, just always feel free to DM me. You can DM me on Instagram at healthybehumanpod. Little plug there for the Instagram. And you guys are gonna be so proud of me. I actually posted a reel on that podcast Instagram for the first time in a while. So I'm trying to get the game back up. And yeah, so let's get into things. First things first. So a question that I actually want to just like talk about, because it just came into my mind, and I've been getting a couple of questions about this, and honestly, I've been really, really hesitant to talk about it on the podcast because I know there's so many mixed reviews and just mixed thoughts and feelings and all this stuff. But I keep getting this question, and it is from people who maybe are Christians, and they are struggling with the feeling of, should I live with my significant other before marriage? And if you guys followed our story closely, we moved in together a year ago in New York City while we were still dating, and then got married a month ago, like we said. So this question is very, very, has a lot of different opinions about it. And I'm curious, John, I mean, I know your answer, but what advice would you give to someone who is struggling with knowing what the best answer is, and also how to get past the approval of others in this decision, especially in the Christianity, because this can be a very judgmental topic?
Yeah, that's a really loaded question because there's so many different views on it, like you said. I don't think there's a right answer. I think ultimately it's up to like God, and if you believe in God, then following what the Bible says, like not just reading it and like understanding it and being like, oh, well, you know, I wonder if this applies to me, but like actually putting it into practice and then seeing the fruit from that. And if the fruit is you living with your significant other, then amazing. You know, for us at the time, we were both pressing into God and listening to God. I was really hesitant to move in with Callie, because, you know, I was like a finance bro in New York and didn't want to, you know, I like wanted my time and my space and like
all his friends were like, don't do it.
Yeah. All my friends who didn't have any fruit to show for in their lives, like they weren't happy or fulfilled or any of these things. And especially everyone I talked to on Wall Street, like older than me, more experienced than me, but all of them were unhappy. People had divorces and all this thing. And I'm like, man, I'm getting all this advice to not move in. I literally had someone, and if this makes it to your ears, Joe, then God bless you because you're listening.
I don't think Joe from Wall Street listens to the podcast.
But if Joe hears this, I want you to know that your advice, I went completely against it. He offered to buy me a second apartment so that I wouldn't have to live with my girlfriend. And he's kind of a baller. I'm not going to lie. He had the money. He had the means. He saw something in me, a spark in me. And, you know, I thought that was great. And I was like, oh, I really care about his approval. So,
wait, he was going to buy you a second apartment while living with me?
He was going to buy me a second apartment so that I wouldn't have to live with you.
That's harsh.
So basically he was like, is it to save money? And I was like, well, that's definitely a benefit. And he was like, dude, I'll buy you another apartment. Like, don't do it. Because you got to have your space. You got to have like time to rest. You got to have space to rest, especially in this industry. You got to be on the desk all the time. And the more I prayed about it and listened to it, I listened to God, I figured out, man, none of these people are fulfilled. None of these people are happy. Like, why would I listen to their advice? And so I went against it and I moved in with Callie, and it was actually the best decision of my life. I know I've been rambling. No. Do you have anything to add? I have a little bit more to answer to this question.
Okay, so also to preface this thing about his friends being like, no, you shouldn't live with her. I don't take no very well. And something about me, I used to think I should be a lawyer because I am very good at being persuasive. And so when John tells me, so we've been looking at apartments and he goes, yeah, one night he's like, we also were doing long distance too, for anyone listening. I was in Miami, he was in New York City. And I was just so excited to move in with him because I was like, oh my gosh, like I am so tired of doing long distance. I can't wait to just be with my best friend, live with my best friend, all this stuff. And when he told me this news, I remember the night so clearly. I was with my best friend, Olivia, in our apartment. And I was like, Olivia, you're never going to believe this. And I was so upset. And I remember we took like shots. I think it was shots of like kava or something. And we like went on like a little walk around Brickell and came back. I think we got like gelato as well. We came back and we were like, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to take no. Like, I'm going to make a PowerPoint and I'm going to prove him that he should live with me. And also, if anyone listening is like, Callie, come on. Like, you're supposed to have the guy fight for you. Like, listen, I know. I get it. I get that there's a whole, like, let the guy fight for you. But I also think that girls should also not go down without a fight if that's what you really want. So, and I knew that that was, like, the best thing to do. So, I made a PowerPoint and basically wrote down, like, all the reasons that living together would be amazing. And I fought for it because I cared about it. And so I wasn't going to do the whole pull away thing because I really, truly cared about our relationship. And I knew that without action, it wasn't going to happen because people were speaking words into John from people who didn't really have healthy, happy relationships. Anyways, Olivia helped me make the PowerPoint and it was really funny. And I ended up saying it to John and he ended up crying and it was like the really sweet moment and honestly brought us really close together because like I wanted to show him how much I loved him and cared about our relationship. So we ended up, he was like, okay, you know what, like let's do it. So we ended up getting an apartment and living in it. So, and that's where the controversy does come in because you guys know that we are Christians and I remember my mom's probably listening to me and I told my mom and she goes, Callie. She was so upset at me. And there's so many just differing opinions out there about should you live with someone before you're married? And in Christianity, it is in the Bible and preached about to not have sex before marriage. And obviously, I'm going to just like drop the elephant in the room. When you live with someone you're dating, it's expected, not expected, but the people assume that you're having sex. So let's talk about that. How do we navigate that?
I mean, first off, yeah, we were. And that was a time in our lives where we thought what we were doing was okay. We like kind of found ways to justify it in our minds, but that actually opened doors to like a lot of darkness and skewed views on sex and all this stuff. So when we moved in together, I think Callie got a text saying, hey, like this is the statistics on divorce. You know, it's a lot higher if you move in with your significant other, like before you get married. And I was like, you know what? We've known each other for 10 years. It's not like we just met and we've been dating in New York. Like, it's not like we met on a dating app and I have no idea who the other person is. Like, we met in high school. We have all these experiences from high school and college. Like, we knew each other and we knew that we wanted to be with each other well before we even started dating. So when we started dating and when we were considering moving in together, it was less of like, hey, like, should we do this because we're dating? And more of, hey, I really want to take the next step. How can we do that? And I mean, I wanted to get engaged very soon after. I think in August, I was like, man, how do I buy a ring for Callie? In October, I was heavily considering it. And so we moved in June. It took about 2 months before I was like, all right, how do I buy a ring? Because we really were that serious. A lot of the reason I quit my job was because of love for Callie. Like, I looked around and it was one day I was shadowing because I was in a rotational program and I got to sit on different desks and listen to different people and take notes and things. And one of the things I heard like 2 or 3 days before I quit my job was just this gentleman who was not appreciated by his wife, even though he was like pouring in so much energy and effort to his job, so that he could provide for the family. And I just thought, man, I don't want that to be me. I don't want that to be me and Callie. Like, I got to pour into her, not my job. And so a lot of the reason I quit was out of love. But to answer a long-winded, I guess to condense my long-winded answer, pray about it. Because I know people in our church now that live together and were having sex and then they took a step back, repented, and like so literally slept in different rooms to prevent temptation and like not giving into any of those desires or anything. But I mean, for us, we didn't necessarily, like, once we stopped having sex pre-marriage, like, we didn't feel the need to sleep in separate rooms, but we were definitely like, okay, what's the point in waiting to get married? We already live together, all these things. So it's a lot to consider, but I would say ultimately just pray about it and see from there.
Yeah, and also too, I mean, adding on to that, like, if someone listening right now, if you're living with your boyfriend, having sex, all this stuff, like, I want to be very clear that you should not feel shame. Because I remember when I first... Part of the reason why I left the church when I was in college is because, just opening up, being very vulnerable. Like, I remember, so in high school is when I actually first lost my virginity. And I remember my Sunday school leader basically gave this like whole answer about, oh, if you drink alcohol before you're married, you're going to have sex before you're married. You're going to start doing drugs before you're married. And it's just like this very dramatic like thing about sex. And I know, like, at the time I remember just hearing her talking about having sex before marriage in a very shameful way that was very, it was very guilt based, or at least it made me feel very guilty, and I didn't feel like I could really open up about things I was struggling with, or even I had a weird skewed relationship with sex because the church, from what I'd learned, had always made it feel like, oh, once you lose your virginity, you can never go back and you should be ashamed. And it simply pushed me away, to be completely honest. And I definitely had a weird relationship with sex. And so, like John was saying, I mean, we were having sex before marriage, and I had a lot of struggles and trauma around sex that I didn't really realize until it came pushing to the surface when we started dating. And I think what really, really happens, so this happened several times. And the first time in New York City, I remember listening to this podcast and I was getting back into my faith with the Lord. And it was this podcast about sex as a, having sex for marriage and all this stuff while being a Christian. And I remember listening to this episode and the first thoughts I had was, ugh, not another one of these episodes shaming me as a Christian for having sex for marriage. Just like the eye roll. And then I was like, you know what? We're gonna keep listening to this. It actually kind of hit home for me and it wasn't a very shameful thing. Like, I remember listening to this episode and for the first time, I actually was like, okay, I can kind of, I guess, understand it a little bit better why Christians like don't think having sex before marriage is good. So I started to kind of feel this like weird conviction in my stomach about this. And I was just like, I don't know, like, is this right? Is this wrong? That confusion about should I be having sex before marriage? This is in New York City. And I remember talking to my friend about it on a walk. And I, this is the first time I'd ever opened up to anyone who was Christian about sex because I'd always felt so weird talking about it. Cause I was like, I feel like everyone in the church is like a virgin and is like judgmental and all this stuff. So I clearly had a weird relationship with it in the church, but I talked about it to my friend on this long walk. And I was just like, I don't know. I feel weird about having sex for a marriage. Like, I just don't know what to do. And I remember her answer. I think her answer was just like, pray about it. And I was praying about this conviction that I was feeling. And I want to get one thing straight. Conviction and shame are totally different things, completely different things. Shame is trying to make you feel guilty and make you feel like you're a horrible, horrible person and you're not worthy and you're not good enough in God's eyes. Like, that is shame and that's from the enemy. That's not from the Lord. Where conviction is like when a parent like scolds you for or calls you out for doing something that is going to be harmful for you. So say you're about to put your hand on a burning hot stove and your parent yells at you, stop. That's what I look at conviction as from the Lord, as, hey, that's going to hurt you. And I want to talk about also why sex before marriage can be harmful, because that was another answer I never received and I was always so freaking confused about, but we'll get into that. So basically, I started praying about this in New York City and I am open. I told you guys in a previous episode, like, one way to hear from the Lord is to read scripture. So I was opening the Bible and just kind of like reading whatever. And I just remember I kept reading different things about sex and about lust. And I was just like, ugh, like, I don't want to like not have sex. Like, what's going to happen to my relationship? Because I'd always had associated sex with a guy loving me. I thought that in order for a guy to love me, I had to have sex with him. So that was kind of like my relationship with sex. It was like very toxic. Anyways, basically had this realization and that was the first time we stopped having sex while we were living together for like a month, I think, in New York. And then fast forward, I think we just got like, I don't know why we like stopped abstaining from it, but I think we just kind of got confused, to be honest. And just that feeling of like, I don't really know what's the right answer kind of came up and like, oh, how is living together and having sex and being committed to each other different than actually being married? Like, does God see it differently? So that was a whole other thing that came up. Do you want to talk about that a little bit more, about marriage?
You guys, ever since I got pregnant, I've been super focused on giving my body and baby the nutrients they need from products I really trust to feel amazing inside and out. One area I've focused on is my gut health. With my hormones fluctuating constantly, my digestion definitely took a little hit the first trimester since the gut is a central hub for various pathways through the body. But did you know that pregnant or not, a happy gut can support your whole body health? I first tried Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic back in 2019. When I was having all sorts of gastrointestinal issues and was getting literally no answers from my doctor. After doing my own research, I took a holistic approach to my body and started consistently taking a daily probiotic for the first time ever and noticed significant ease in bloating. My digestion became healthy and regular, and I noticed an increase in my energy levels and mood. Recently, I learned that DS01 also promotes a healthy microbial environment in the gut and reinforces healthy gut-skin axis to promote clear skin for improved comfort and and appearance. I choose to take DS01 over other probiotics because it's a product I know I can trust with the rigorous scientific testing and 24 clinically and scientifically studied strains. In the past, when I've traveled, I've fallen off the probiotic train since some require refrigeration, but with DS01, no refrigeration is required and you only need to take 2 capsules daily. Plus, Seed gives you a free travel vial in the welcome kit that allows you to take DS01 on the go. Trust your gut with Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic. Go to seed.com/Cali and use code 25Cali to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/Cali, code 25Cali.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise, and with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Yeah, I mean, it's no different sharing a hotel room as it is living with someone. Like, the doors are open, the temptation can arise. I'm not saying that it will.
Okay, wait, why is the temptation bad? I just want to, like, because I remember hearing that and being like, but I don't understand why it's so bad.
The thing is, like, and I'll be honest, like, part of my testimony is I struggled with porn since I was, like, 10. And I know it's not just guys, it's girls too. But like, I struggled with pornography for several years. And that gave me a really skewed, messed up view of sex and the expectations of dating and intimacy and all this stuff. When we stopped having sex, I actually experienced a lot of healing from like my views on that. But when we started having sex again and then we moved to Florida, I was actually tempted a lot by like the idea of pornography again. And like, I was just so sick of it because I had like broken it off and like I had made a commitment to like stop watching it, and I'm clean. And like, I've been totally honest with Callie like the entire time. And I was like, I'm so tired of struggling with this. Like, I want to be faithful. So if that's not reason enough for why it's bad, like, if you don't want to cheat on your significant other, then like, stay away, you know, try and minimize temptation if you can. So one of the ways we minimized temptation was like just completely stopping having sex. And after we healed from that and closed any doors, any beliefs that, you know, we had to have sex to be connected or anything like that. I mean, like, all the tormenting and the temptation just stopped. Like, I wasn't experiencing the temptation like I had been, even though I had been abstaining. But like, because we had, I don't know, I guess like we had experienced the Lord in a different way and like found out what this temptation really is and like in the demonic realm and stuff like that. Like, that's a whole different podcast. There's a whole different podcast. But there are doors that we had open that once they were shut, brought so much peace back to our relationship and like comfort and assurance and confidence and faithfulness. Like, there was no mental and emotional like tormenting or temptation. I mean, that's one reason why temptation is bad, because like if it causes you to stumble, then like that affects not only you spiritually, but like that affects your partner, affects people around you. Yeah.
And I think also, thanks for like sharing. I think sometimes it's gonna be scary to open up, but I always say, and we always talk about this, me and John talk about this a lot, how important it is to bring the darkness to the light, because a lot of the times some of the things that feel like they have the biggest chokehold and grip on us are things that we just haven't pressed out and shared and just brought to the light. I mean, the things that the enemy tries to make us feel so ashamed of, I mean, those are the things that we really need to bring out into the light. And so, you know what? I'm going to bring something else out into the light that I've been truly so afraid to share. And I think it's about time to share. And I think going on to other things, other reasons why it was important, at least for me, to stop having sex. And this was more about like, so I've cheated before. I've cheated on my several partners emotionally and physically. And I haven't like shared that with anyone except for John knows and my parents know, and the people they don't know, because I never told them and they never found out. But basically that was something that held so much shame over me, and even just saying it now on the podcast to like thousands and thousands of people, it's like releasing that, because that doesn't define me as a person. But I think for me, it was really, really important to, like I said, be able to see that I could be loved by somebody without having sex with them. And even like the temptations, I mean, I struggled with addiction to sex, and that's where some of that just lusting and cheating came in, because I was lusting for more. And as a result, my eyes were turned and I cheated on the person that I was with at the time that had made that commitment to. And it's like John was saying, like removing those things from our lives that are bringing us down. Because let's get one thing straight with God, is that He's our Father and He wants the best for us. And yeah, the Bible says don't have sex before marriage, and yeah, it can suck in the moment because it's fun to have sex and it makes you feel close to the person you're with and you love, but it's ultimately protecting us. And it was hard for me to grasp this, because it's going to open doors. And while sex, God created sex, and sex is not a bad thing at all, sex is a beautiful thing, it literally creates life, is it can be bad if it bonds us to the wrong people. And it's like you're giving a piece of yourself to the person that you're sleeping with. And like, when I was doing that before I was married with people and then cheating on them with other people or other person, like it just, that is getting really twisted with different soul ties. And like, it's really hard emotionally to remove that from like my, it's hard to like remove those relationships from my life, like when they end. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Do you know what I'm trying to say at all?
Keep going, you got this.
Okay, anyways. It's really hard when I don't know. It's just having sex for marriage with like multiple people, it's really hard to like completely break those relationships when they end and to get that part of you back. And it's called soul ties. And we ask for our soul ties back. And
basically, that's a whole other podcast. And if you guys want to hear about it, about all of the spiritual realm, like we can go there. But I know a lot of people listening may not be Christians and maybe like, what are you talking about? But that's okay. But anyways, I think I just have really learned in the past few months, like the beauty of the beauty of God's trying to protect us. And we don't always have to understand what he's protecting us from, but I have experienced that protection and I understand so much deeper now, like why it's important to wait to have sex before you're married. Because when you're married, you have this new covenant with this person and you're becoming one with this person. And if you've already, like, look, reborn, virgin, all that stuff, it's, I know this sounds so like, I don't know, like cringy, reborn virgin. Like, I don't know. I feel like that's kind of whatever, but I feel like it's true. And I think the whole thing about like, there's been so many things I've seen with the church where it's like, oh, once you lose your virginity, it's like a flower you squish and you can't ever like remake the flower beautiful again. Like that's a lie. That's BS. But point is that yes, even if you've been with 10 people, 30 people, 40 people, like you can still like dive into the word and pray and ask for like wisdom and discernment on what is the right thing. Should I be having sex before marriage? Should I be living with my partner? Like, God, like, what do you want me to do? Because ultimately we can be telling you our experiences with it. We can be telling you, hey, like when we started waiting till marriage, like it made our relationship a lot better. And like, we can be telling you these things, but ultimately it comes down to like, what does God want for your life? And praying and asking him for that. And like, if the answer is hard to hear, just keep pressing in and like pray for just like, how, like pray to understand like that answer. And I think something, I'm like totally rambling right now, but I think something that really helped me is when I had someone in my life who was married and in a really healthy relationship, and I was able to ask her, hey, what does sex look like in marriage versus not in marriage? And she had had sex before marriage and obviously had sex in her marriage and was able to tell me, here's the difference. And that answer, that like knowledge of, okay, this is what it looks like, was able to help me so much in understanding God's conviction that he had given on to me about waiting till marriage. So that's my very long-winded answer. And I get this DM all the time about like sex before marriage. And I've totally been pushing it off because I've been like, oh my gosh, like there's so much just like, you know, there's so much like controversy around it. But I just want to say like, no matter if you're having sex before marriage, if you're waiting, like no matter what, like God is still going to love you. And there is no reason to feel ashamed. Like that shame, that enemy telling you to like not tell anyone about it, or if you're struggling with watching porn, like that shame of don't tell anyone about it, or if you're like struggling with cheating on your boyfriend or your girlfriend, like that shame is not from God, and that shame is from the enemy who's trying to hold you back. So like, just realize that shame is a lie, and no matter what decision you're making, like you're still enough and you're still worthy and you're still worthy of love and you still deserve love. And I told myself for so long, like when I had cheated, like I was just such an awful person. I didn't deserve love. Like I had that just running through my mind all the time. And I just think it's important to like, don't let that hold you back. I'm like literally on a tangent right now, but do you have anything to add or say?
That was beautiful, Callie. Thank you for sharing all of that. I'm really, really proud of you. Yeah. Bring the darkness into the light and it'll lose so much of its power. Like when we were, I think two months into dating, Callie and I were just, you know, having like cute cuddle sesh time or whatever. And, you know, it was great. We were in a really safe, intimate space and we were playing a game of like truth or dare.
And I asked him the question of, I was like, this is like a cute, like funny question. Like, oh, like what's one thing that you've never told anyone before? Like trying to like get deep with him and like have him tell me like a little secret. I don't know.
Yeah. And I like, in that moment, I was like, man, I've heard testimonies from other people who waited till they were engaged to tell their partner that they struggled with porn. And I was like, I'm not making that same mistake because that other situation ended poorly. Thank you, Nick, for your story if you hear this episode. And so I brought my deepest, darkest secret and struggle into the light. And I said, Callie, I've been struggling with porn since like middle school, elementary school. And the conversation, the mood totally changed, but it was still very supportive and loving. And she was like, well, what does that mean? And I kind of explained. She's like, well, what is it like? And I kind of explained. And I was like, listen, I don't like it. I don't want to do it. It just, like, it's had this grip on me for so long. And after that, I did not watch it. And I prayed for breaking of chains tied to it. And, you know, I've closed doors that have opened stuff, you know, to it. And I've gotten kind of confused with what is it? What is it not? In the healing process. But ultimately, anything that involves like lusting after other people is just not, it's just not good for your marriage, not good for your relationship, not good for the person you're even talking to. Like it's not good for you either. But yeah, there's a lot of healing that comes in revealing darkness into the light.
And also too, I mean, going off of just like protecting your mind, I think something that also answered a lot of my confusion around sex before marriage and lust and all of that is, it's end of the day, it's seriously God wanting to protect you. And for me, in my case, something that I realized was not helping the situation with I want to abstain from sex before marriage, what are things in my life right now that are making it really hard for me and are making me stumble? And for me, I was loving Colleen Hoover books so much. I thought they were amazing and I love the stories. But if you've read a Colleen Hoover book, it's pretty sexual and low-key book porn. So I realized reading books like that just weren't helping me. And I just started looking more at what am I consuming on the day to day and really not trying to be like this super, I guess, uptight Christian, but more so trying to genuinely just protect my mind and help myself. It's like the same thing as going on a TikTok spiral, knowing that's going to hurt you. It's trying to be disciplined enough to protect yourself and help the future version of you and the present you. But I want to quickly just pivot into one more thing that I really want to chat about. And it is dating, engaged, and marriage. So a book we read that I don't really recommend is, I think it's called like Single Dating and Engaged Marriage. Like I know it's a pretty popular book, but there are just things in the book I personally was like, I don't know. There's some scripture that was misinterpreted and quoted and whatever. The actual book itself had some good points though, so I don't want to sit there and like bash this book. But what I did love from this book that I want to just quickly talk about is how it's easy to get stuck in the dating phase of relationships. And the dating phase should be a transition phase. And a lot of times in our society and culture, we tend to get very comfortable in this phase and don't want to commit to something bigger. I'm guilty of this. I've been in like a 4-year relationship and I was very just comfy in the relationship. And I remember I was like, if someone asked me like, oh, are you getting engaged or like married? Like I'd be like, okay, like, I don't know, like 5 more years, like date for like 10 years. But I think something that this book did bring to light is how in this culture and day and age, like the actual progression through the different phases of a relationship, it is not nearly as fast as it used to be. So I wanted to see if you have anything you want to say on tips and tricks for someone to move through the different phases.
I would say if you're single, press into your singleness. Now that doesn't mean like go meet, you know, people of the opposite gender or whatever, like that you're pursuing. What I mean by pressing into your singleness is like, hey, I have 3 hours after work. And I have no ties to anyone. I have no obligations. How can I grow with the Lord? How can I like improve my health and wellness? What hobbies can I start doing again or start doing? And while you're single, just enjoying it. And once you're dating, figure out, is this person the one? You know, kind of go through different parts of life. I think it's important to see them in social settings, in one-on-one settings, around pets, around parents, around grandparents, around kids. I mean, just like really, really get to know them. Go hiking. That's definitely a good way to get to know somebody. Go walking, maybe go running, go swimming, like do activities. Just get to know the person better. Like play tennis, see how they react under competition. I mean, like all these things, and see like, okay, is this someone that I want to be like co-parents with children? And if not, I mean, then you got your answer. I mean, like, don't get married. That's my personal decision.
Also, I want to add on to this whole thing. It should not take you 4 years to know if the person's the one. Seriously, like I did that. I remember it was like fourth year of dating this person. No hate to that person at all, but I just remember I was always like, I don't know. I just don't know. Oh my gosh. If you don't know after 4 years, they're not the right person. And it doesn't mean they're a bad person at all. Like they can be a great partner, a great friend, but it doesn't mean they are your soulmate. And I think I always was like, I got to the point where I was like, you know what? I just don't think I'm going to know. I think there can be multiple people out there for me. I think I'm just never going to know if it's the right person because I wasn't with the right person. And then when I started dating John, I remember I knew I wanted to marry John, like, honestly, years before that, but I always had this feeling about him I couldn't shake. But anyways, I knew after probably a month of dating John that I wanted to marry John and that he was the right person. Like, I just had this unexplainable feeling about him that I'd never had with any other person in my entire life. So that's another thing, is you will know pretty quickly early into the relationship if the person is the right person. And if you're in year four and you're still confused, like, sorry to break it to you, but I don't think they're the right person for you.
Or they are the right person and you just got to convince them, dude, buy me a freaking ring.
Yeah, like, yeah, I take that back.
They could totally be the right person because, listen, I know people that are very close to me. They have been dating for 4 years. I ask them, so when are you going to get engaged? They're like, oh, maybe 4 or 5 years from now. And I'm thinking, like, why would you wait? And for me, I mean, I was like, yeah, I'm going to wait till like the perfect time. And I just, you know, I'm still feeling it out. And really what it is, it's fear of commitment. And you know, try and empower your partner to like be ready for that.
And I think too, what kind of more what I was saying is, because I kind of was just like, don't be with them, is there's a difference between fear of commitment, like John's saying, of, oh, it's been 4 years, 5 years, and I'm still waiting to get engaged, versus I still don't know if they're the right person for me. There's a difference. And the difference is that I would struggle to imagine myself walking down the aisle with this person that I was dating. I literally could not imagine myself walking down the aisle. And that's a pretty big red flag right there that I don't think they're the right person for me. And almost like settling for things that I knew that, an example, the smallest thing, flowers. Buying me flowers. I had voiced over and over again how much I loved flowers, and it just meant a lot to me to have flowers. And that wasn't really being processed or understood. And so, like, something as small as that raised a bit of a red flag for me, because I was like, okay, well, if this in the dating phase isn't going to be heard when we're married, Will this not be heard? So it just, things like that, be very, very mindful of, is the person you're dating, are they hearing your love languages? Are they receiving that and wanting to make you feel loved, versus are you doing the same thing? Do you see their love languages and know what makes them feel loved and special? And are you doing that? So things like that are really important to be mindful of when you're dating someone, because they're not going to change when you guys are married. If they're struggling to show you love now, it's probably not going to get much easier when you're actually together officially in marriage.
I would say the exception is when they actually do try to love you better. If they're not trying to love you better every day, that might be a difficult decision. I just got called out for saying the word a lot. So I apologize if there's a lot of ums. Callie's probably going to go back and fix it. But if there's a lot of ums, I'm sorry.
It's just 9 p.m. and I've already procrastinated. This has to drop in 3 hours.
That's fair. Engagement. Let's wrap this up, folks. Engagement is a beautiful time to plan the marriage. And I think that's all it should be. And marriage is its own special thing. And, you know, Callie and I are still figuring out marriage and what it's supposed to be, but we love it. And there's ups and downs, just like in any other relationship. The only difference is we're committed to one another, and we're committed. We have a covenant before God and before people to love each other no matter what. And so that exception that I was talking about in the dating phase, you know, are they willing to continue to love you in hard times, right? Or despite what they think love is, where like you receive love in a different way. It's that. It's loving someone no matter what, and also working through how to love someone better constantly. That's what marriage has been for the past 4 weeks for us, and it's been beautiful. And you know, we've had sex in a really healthy way. But it's been way more beautiful, and it's honestly been completely different. Like, I don't know how to describe it, but it's just been completely different than when we were having sex pre-marriage. So I hope that's a little motivation for you. And I love how this episode started off as travel tips. That was our prompt, was summer travel tips. So I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, if you guys want summer travel tips, go ahead and DM Callie at Healthy But Human Pod on Instagram. And we'll definitely make sure to get an episode in.
Yeah, I was like, we're trying to figure out. We spent probably a good 5 minutes talking about what should we talk about in this episode? Because it's already, what, 9 p.m.? We started recording this at like 8 p.m. And we're already just having a full day of just chaos. And honestly, I was freaking out because I was like, I have to record this on video. And it's dark outside and the light. I was honestly just freaking out and being dramatic. But anyways, we were like, let's talk about some summer travel tips. And you guys, John had no idea that I was going to throw this like massive deep prompt question at him. I didn't even think I was going to, but I was like, you know what? This is something that I keep getting messaged about and I'm resisting talking about. So we're going to talk about some of our summer travel tips today.
Do message us at Healthy But Human Pod. Make sure to follow the podcast at Healthy But Human Pod on Instagram. Like, comment, subscribe on this video. Leave a review for the podcast. It means a lot and it helps us reach a lot more people.
Yeah. Honestly, though, guys, I really appreciate you so much. And I know that, like, I say it all the time, but seriously, to everyone who's made it this far, 51 minutes into the episode, like, you are amazing and special. And I am so blessed to have you in this community. And the fact that people even listen to the podcast every week blows my mind. So shout out you guys, because keep coming back for more because you guys are awesome. And all the support in the world like also blows my mind too. I just really appreciate it. So thanks so much, guys, for listening. And I'll see you next week. And follow John also. What's your Instagram, John?
My Instagram is at John Guali, JohnGualy. You will see that my bio is the places I've lived. And that's about it.
And also, John makes music. Go listen to his music on Spotify, Gualz, G-U-A-L-Z. And he's also going to become a fitness instructor. So tell all your boys out there that there is a fitness instructor coming to town named John Guali who's going to put some fire content out there. And I'm going to train him. So trained by Sweaty Studio, John Guali. All right. I feel like I'm getting weird. I'm delirious. I'm tired. My voice is gone. I'm like croaking. Okay, guys. Bye. Have the best day ever. And stay healthy, but human.
Bye, guys.
Stay
healthy, but human.
Bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.